This is the Quality News Network. China and Russia have introduced a new draft resolution concerning North Korea that they want the UN Security Council to consider. An earlier resolution from Japan, opposed by both China and Russia, called for sanctions against Pyongyang for its recent missile tests. That resolution has not yet faced a vote at the United Nations. Israel has sent troops into southern Lebanon and is pounding the area with airstrikes following a cross-border attack by Hezbollah guerrillas and the kidnapping of two Israeli soldiers on the Israeli-Lebanese border. Seven Israeli military have reportedly been killed in the fighting. Meanwhile, an Israeli airstrike in Gaza has killed a Palestinian family of six, including a Hamas political leader who taught at the Islamic University. Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld is in Iraq, where he paid a surprise visit to an airbase near Baghdad today and fielded questions from the troops there. In today's sectarian violence, 20 of 24 bus drivers kidnapped early today from a station in north of Baghdad have been found murdered, and a suicide bomber has killed seven and wounded 20 in a Baghdad marketplace. The death toll has now risen to 200 from yesterday's commuter train bombings in Mumbai, India. More than 700 people were wounded. Investigators are continuing to look for clues in the attacks, for which no group has yet claimed responsibility. The cause of yesterday's subway rail derailment in Chicago remains under investigation, but authorities say it appears to have been an accident rather than the result of terrorist activity. More than 100 people were injured, including two of them critically, when the train went off its tracks during the afternoon rush hour. Firefighters in Southern California are battling a 30,000-acre wildfire near Yucca Valley, which has already destroyed 20 structures, is threatening 200 homes, and has caused the evacuation of more than 1,000 residents. Space Shuttle Discovery astronauts are nearing the completion of the third and final spacewalk of their 13-day mission, which ends on Monday. A Russian rocket was launched today carrying an experimental inflatable spacecraft. Genesis 1 is the brainchild of Las Vegas real estate mogul Robert Bigelow, who hopes one day to be able to build a commercial space station. Bigelow, who owns the Budget Suites hotel chain, has committed $500 million towards the project. The House has overwhelmingly approved a bill to ban the use of credit cards and electronic transfers for online gambling. That bill now heads for the Senate. President Bush is on his way to this weekend's G8 summit in St. Petersburg, and newly elected Mexican President Felipe Calderon says he's not opposed to a partial recount of the closely contested election, but that a complete recount, as demanded by his opponent, would be absurd and illegal. This is Quality News Network. Business news is next.
In addition to producing and distributing the finest hourly newscasts in the country, the Quality News Network conducts interviews with 2006 candidates. We afford congressional and gubernatorial challengers of every political stripe the opportunity to illuminate their views and to demonstrate their character in a 20-minute network-quality interview. We perform this public service to enable voters to get a better listen to the people they might consider electing to high office. Because as Thomas Jefferson said, if a nation expects to be ignorant and free in a state of civilization, it expects what never was and never will be. If you want to know more about who is running in the November elections, go to qualitynewsnetwork.com and click on 2006 candidates. If we are to get America back on track, we need to elect people who can lead us in the right direction. Now, back to the news.
The European Union has fined Microsoft.
It's 3 to 5 Eastern Time right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Did you receive an email from the IRS saying you're due a tax refund? If so, don't open it. The IRS does not request personal information by email. Hello, I'm Russell George, Treasury Inspector General for Tax Administration. The IRS and I want to warn you about bogus IRS emails and websites that look real but are not. These emails are schemes played by crooks who are out to steal your money and identity. Fall victim to it, and you can spend months, even years, cleaning up the mess they've made of your good name and credit record. Help stop these crooks from ripping people off. If you get a suspicious email, go to irs.gov and search for identity theft to find out what to do. That's irs.gov. Or call us at 1-800-366-4484. Again, that's 1-800-366-4484. 4484.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop and the Sunday Weekly Review. Ah, excuse me, it's Wednesday. See, I used to have the Weekly Review on Sundays. It's Wednesday Weekly Review. Toll-free numbers 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. You can also comment on the weblog at www.radioinsidescoop.com. And I posted an article up there on Sunday on Bush and the Joe Wilson, Valerie Plame, Robert Novak, Dick Cheney affair that grows and grows and grows. What's interesting to me about this is that ever since, well, Karl Rove was given a pass, not for disclosing the name. Rove has admitted he disclosed the name, folks. He's admitted he disclosed the name of a CIA agent. He's admitted, of course, doing that. He's admitted lying about it to the press secretary, former press secretary Scott McClellan. And, of course, the president, as you recall, promised to fire anybody who leaked such a name, and, of course, hasn't done so. But ever since Rove has been given a pass by the special prosecutor, Peter Fitzgerald, I don't know. You don't see many articles about it, do you? So I was very interested to find the article that I found in the National Journal that I have a link to on my website at radioinsidescoop.com under comments that shows that, guess what? It wasn't just Dick Cheney, who I've long fingered as the traitor of Traitorgate. It wasn't just Dick Cheney who made sure that Joe Wilson's wife was outed, who wanted to punish Joe Wilson for telling the truth that Iraq, you know, wasn't going seeking nuclear weapons, even when Bush claimed that in his State of the Union address. It was Bush himself. Heck, I didn't think Bush was that smart. But it was Bush himself. It's clear now. There's no doubt about it. It was him who began the smear campaign, and the press is virtually silent. Hey, that's why I give you the inside scoop. But what's interesting to me is some of the things that you posted about it. And, Robert, I really want to thank you for your posts right there on the Internet. He says one of the things in reading the statement that he doesn't understand is that it's clearly, Robert writes, all rehearsed and calculated. Plan A was closed mouth as long as possible and misdirect, right? So we know that for a couple years, they denied everything, lied about everything, said, first campaign, I don't remember. Let's see, I did my smear campaign on Max Cleland. I did the Swift Boat stuff with plausible deniability on John Kerry. And, oh, I don't remember whether I was supposed to smear Joe Wilson or not. Apparently that's the reasonable doubt that Special Prosecutor Peter Fitzgerald was doing. But why aren't Republicans pressing to, I don't know, fire the traitor? Maybe he shouldn't be executed. I might prefer the execution. But maybe, you know, you need two witnesses for treason, according to the Constitution. Maybe we can't quite execute him. How about firing the guy? How about that? No, not likely to happen. Still, though, a lot more to talk about. I want to talk about North Korea's missiles and why I think we need to take a stronger stand against North Korea. And I want to go over what's happening in Israel, in Mexico, in Russia. And, there's even why the immigration is being shelved. There's a lot of things to talk about, and I'm encouraging you to do so. The toll-free number is 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. We'll be right back after this.
When Bruce and I filled in for Bob Kincaid, we didn't know what to expect, but we sure didn't expect a call from the decider.
I told Walmart to sell the Easter egg dye kits, you know, the ones with the resurrection egg. We decided they can't be with it, that we were going to support Walmart and and go with what the Lord told them and buy some of them resurrection egg kits. And, you know, I found the resurrection egg. God spoke to me through that. God told me that I am the fourth member of the Holy Trinity. We're calling it the Holy Quadraphonic. And so now I'm the fourth voice of the Holy Trinity. So now I've got four voices in my head. I have the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost and the Decider. I'm the Decider. I get to decide.
Don't miss Head On with Bob Kincaid weekdays 7 to 10 p.m. and Fourth Estate Radio with John Fox and Bruce Birch Saturdays 10 p.m. Eastern Time on the Head On Radio Network.
Planet Check. Michael Franti from Spearhead talks about the new benefit CD for the nonprofit environmental law firm, Earth Justice.
I'm always involved in Earth Justice as an idea, no matter where I go.
Franti, along with artists Nora Jones, Los Lobos, Willie Nelson, and Bonnie Raitt, donated their music in support of life's absolute necessities, clean air and water.
Music today is not speaking to really what's happening on the streets. It's really important that artists come together, work on projects together, and put out unified voices about what's happening today in our planet.
In the United States alone, more than 70,000 people die per year from air pollution.
Keep on talking now, it's ours. Keep on singing by.
Music makes a difference. Give it a spin at wherewelive.org. That's Planet Check.
Planet Check is possible thanks to Clif Bar, the energy bar made with organic ingredients by a company committed to sustaining you and the planet. More at cliffbar.com.
The Native American Journalists Association is calling out to tomorrow's reporters, photographers, editors, and publishers to represent Native perspectives.
Today's agreement allows the Nebraska State Patrol and Winnebago Tribal Police to share enforcement.
The tribe is taking its concerns to the Bureau of Reclamation, which manages and
Native American inmates have filed suit against the prison.
Go to NAJA.com to learn more about membership and benefits. NAJA, raising the next generation of storytellers.
Hey, Ranger, why do you have to remind people to be careful with fire?
Well, Mr. Mountain Lion, sometimes people need to be reminded about certain things, like not to run with scissors or let children play with wild dingoes, and to be responsible for fires they start.
So what you're saying is that people can be careless and forgetful?
Pretty much.
That makes me very sad.
Sounds like someone needs a hug.
Back off or I'll turn your hat into confetti!
Remember, only you can prevent wildfires. A public service message from Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, State Forester, and the Ag Council.
From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. All over the world, we've got trouble. You know, it reminds me of that famous Saturday Night Live that they don't show anymore. I remember it very clearly, and I wish they'd run that rerun. Do you remember that Saturday Night Live when they showed what would happen if Al Gore won the election of 2000, what would happen if Bush won, and what would happen if Ralph Nader won? And they had Al Gore was there, and everything was running very smoothly, and there were a bunch of computers right there in the office, and he was saying, "Now, America, please turn to page 83. We're going to go over the math quiz. Some of you didn't do so well," and they showed Al Gore being his pedantic self. But as boring as he was, the country was running smoothly. Everything was going just fine. They had Ralph Nader winning, and they had pigs flying, and that was sort of an obvious thing. But my favorite still was George Bush. Do you remember that? They had the actor playing George Bush, Will Ferrell, and it says, "Mr. President," and there's no one there, and Will Ferrell's hiding under the desk, and there's fires burning outside, and Will Ferrell sneaks his head up and says, "Oh, I'm sorry, America. I didn't mean to get us in those two wars, and I'm real sorry about burning up Washington, and I'm real sorry about the flood, and really didn't." They don't show that, do they? Because we've had two wars, and we've had flood, Hurricane Katrina, the first time, in fact, a major American city has ever been under a flood, a deluge. Probably the worst act to an American city since the Chicago fire or the San Francisco earthquake at the turn of the last century. They never show that anymore because, heck, it all came true. And it was supposed to be just a joke. Well, now we see it's coming true around the world. North Korea, which, folks, please remember, Bill Clinton had under wraps. Suddenly he had Iraq under wraps. It's not that Iraq and North Korea weren't dangerous, Saddam Hussein and Kim Jong-il, they were dangerous, but Clinton had them covered. In Iraq, we had sanctions, we had overflights by certain flight zones, and we were going in there and we destroyed all his former chemical and biological weapons. And in North Korea, we had cameras literally watching at these nuclear plants. You see, folks, once you make a nuclear weapon, then it's easy to conceal it and hide it, and it's not easy, but it's not that hard to conceal it. But actually making the nuclear weapon is difficult. It's extremely difficult to do below ground. So when North Korea started making nuclear weapons at the Yongbyon nuclear plant, Clinton delivered a very strong ultimatum. And this strong ultimatum was, folks, you got to stop doing this. You can only use nuclear weapons for peaceful purposes. We're going to install cameras. If you ever go beyond the peaceful purposes, you're in trouble. And North Korea agreed. And there was a stalemate. And, you know, listen, I'm not happy that Kim Jong-il is still in power, but we didn't invade. It would have been virtually impossible to invade. And we had cameras to stop him from making those nuclear weapons. Well, what happened shortly after September 11th? They turned off the cameras. They turned off the monitors. They violated the deal that Bill Clinton had made with them, and they started developing nuclear weapons. And what did our president do, our cowboy president, the guy who wanted to make Iraq safe for American oil companies? Well, he did nothing. He allowed North Korea to become a nuclear power. You know, I don't mind so much when a democracy becomes a nuclear power. If India has nuclear weapons, you know, they're a democracy. But when North Korea, a country that is making missiles to lob into Japan, making missiles that are designed to hit California, when they develop nuclear weapons, I get concerned. Remember, the whole purpose of us having troops in South Korea long after the war and is that if they have more troops than we do. They can overrun the border, but heck, we have nuclear weapons. If they have nuclear weapons too, just imagine what Kim Jong-il will say as soon as he can hit California or even Japan. He says, I'm invading South Korea. I dare you to stop me. And are we going to risk California being nuked? Are we going to risk Japan being nuked? This is a major danger. And, you know, there's some Democrats that are close to pacifists. Not so much Democrats, I have to say, but there's some on the left, the far left of the party. There aren't really that many. There is the congresswoman from Oakland, Barbara Lee, who voted against the war in Afghanistan. But the far left say, you know, no war, no time. I disagree. I think there are such things as just wars, and I think that we need to be awake as to what's going on in North Korea. So arguably I'm attacking the president from the right, but he is being a real patsy when it comes to North Korea. He's just sitting there, and he's not taking any action. Oh, North Korea, I'm going to wag my finger at you. Now, this is the same president who insisted that we couldn't wait on Saddam Hussein, even though Iraq had no nuclear weapons, and even though the president lied saying they were getting nuclear weapons, and they had no biological or chemical weapons of any value, and he lied about that, there was no time. No time for diplomacy, no time for sanctions, no time for the United Nations. We have to invade Iraq right away. But North Korea, developing nuclear weapons, developing missiles, there's time. Let other people handle it. I guess North Korea doesn't have any oil. In my view, if we weren't so bogged down in Iraq, we could actually take a strong stand against North Korea. And there are other countries to be worried about, too. Russia, remember Russia? Remember the old Soviet Union? Remember the country that used to be opposed to us in the Cold War? Well, what are they doing now? Vladimir Putin, who George Bush has seen into his heart and thinks is a good guy, right? Vladimir Putin has shut down free radio. Radio Free Europe. Radio Liberty. He shut it down. He is not just stopping democracy in Russia, but he's trying to undermine it in neighboring countries like Georgia and Ukraine. And what is Bush doing? Nothing. Nothing about it at all. Those of you who still think that the war in Iraq has anything to do with democracy, why are we allowing the most powerful nation in the world after us, Russia, to slide back into dictatorship? I'm not saying invade. I'm never saying, you know, invade is the last option, folks. We didn't win the Cold War by invading. But with enough simply public pressure, the Russian people, I do not believe, support dictatorship. And with pressure from us leading the way, the way we used to do back when we were a beacon of democracy, I think we can persuade Putin to back down. This is how it begins, folks. And it's getting worse. In Mexico, of course, there's the disputed election. And Obrador, the candidate who is behind, is insisting that every vote be counted. Where have you heard that before? The candidate who's ahead, the center-right candidate, Felipe Calderon, has agreed to count some votes, but not other votes. Where have you heard that before? It was interesting. I was debating Mike Lane on my show. You can hear it by clicking on the archive for Tuesday, for yesterday's show. And it's amazing how quickly the public forgets that the survey of the newspapers made it very clear that if you counted all the votes in Florida, Al Gore won. And what's interesting is you can take an obvious fact like that, something that is indisputable, that every press organization who examined the ballots has come to the conclusion that no matter how you counted the votes, if you count the hanging chads or you don't count the hanging chads, if you count, you know, two-corner punch-out or one-corner or three-corner, however, whatever system you use to count the ballots, Gore won Florida and Gore won 2000. That's not disputable, folks. And yet you hear Republicans disputing it. And I know the reason. The press, wary after September 11th, they wrote an article that suggested that Bush would win under some things and Gore would win under other things. But you have to read the text of the article. What the article says is Bush wins if you don't count all the votes. And that's true. If you only counted some of those counties in Florida, yeah, Bush still would have won. If you count all the votes, which is, I thought, what you do in a democracy, Gore wins. And that's even without the butterfly ballots. Why am I raising this old history? Because, my friend, it's happening again just south of the border. It's happening in Mexico. And Obrador is insisting that we count all the votes. What could be wrong about counting all the votes? I've never understood the people that say that counting all the votes is wrong. But this is the official position of the Republican Party, of the president. And let's be clear. They know what they're doing. They know exactly what they're doing. Meanwhile, in Israel, the war unfortunately seems to be expanding after they did some kidnappings in Gaza. Now Hezbollah has kidnapped more Israeli soldiers in Lebanon, forcing Israel to fight on that battle there. I have to tell you something, and this may surprise some of you on the left. I hope Israel doesn't hold back. I hope they hit back harder. I actually think they're restraining themselves too much. A recent poll in Gaza, and this may surprise you, a recent poll showed what percentage of Palestinians in Gaza actually support the kidnapping of the Israeli soldier. And I've had friends guess. My mom guessed 30%. I thought it would be 50%. The answer is 77%. 77% of Palestinians in Gaza support the kidnapping of the Israeli soldier. 16% were against it. Some 7% were unsure. More than 60% supported lobbing missiles into Israel. The Palestinians of Gaza want war. They want war. I hope some of you had a chance to hear my wonderful guest of last week, the Arab woman who tells the truth on these issues. They want war. And Israel has left Gaza completely and said, you know, you live your lives, we'll live our lives, and if you are peaceful, then we can work out something on the West Bank too. And the Palestinians said, we don't want peace. We want war. We want death. We want destruction. We want terrorism. So while I do feel for the 16%, I do feel for the 1 in 6 Palestinians who apparently don't want war, you know, I can't blame Israel for what they're doing. My goal is not to serve any master, but just to tell that's how I see it. And, you know, when we firebombed Dresden after World War II, We burned down the city of Dresden. And yes, I'm sure there were some innocent Germans there, and that's an awful thing. But most were not. Most Germans supported the Nazis, just like most Palestinians support terrorism. And sometimes you have to respond in a strong way. I do not mind when a country that is attacked responds strongly. I always supported our attack on Osama bin Laden, on Al-Qaeda, and Afghanistan. So people say, well, Mark, why don't you support the war in Iraq? The answer is simple, folks. They didn't attack us. They didn't attack us. And attacking people who haven't attacked you, that's where I draw the line. It's 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275 if you want to join in. Give us a call. Let me hear what you have to say. Or you can comment on the internet at RadioInsideScoop.com. We'll be right back after this.
This is Bruce Birch, and I'd like to invite you to join me for a brand new show here on the Horn, the Bruce Birch Radio Program. Tune in Monday through Friday, 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Listen, man, adding fractions is no big deal.
Nah?
No. You just got to find what they call the common denominator. Let me show you.
All right.
Now, see these bottom numbers?
Yeah.
These are the denominators. That one's a 4 and that one's an 8.
Mm-hmm.
You just double both of these numbers so that becomes an 8 too. Then you add them up.
Man, you sure make this easy.
Charles Bennett always dreamed that after college he'd return to the old neighborhood as a teacher. But without the money for tuition, only half of his dream came true. He's back in the old neighborhood.
Well, enough math. I gotta deliver these sandwiches.
Oh, sure.
Please support the United Negro College Fund. Call 1-800-332-UNCF. A mind is a terrible thing to waste. A public service brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
Ready?
Not.
Ready?
Not.
Your body's been ready for quite some time.
Not.
Ready?
But not your mind.
Ready?
Not.
Ready?
No way.
You have lots to do before you have a baby. But don't forget to take folic acid today and every day to prevent birth defects one special day. So when all of you is ready, that baby of yours will be ready to take on the world.
Ready?
Not.
Ready.
Are rising fuel prices keeping you at home? Then here's some good news from the IRS. First, your purchase of a new hybrid or electric vehicle entitles you to a tax deduction that could amount to several thousand dollars. And you don't have to itemize to get this tax break. Second, if you're claiming the standard mileage rate for business travel in 2005, remember to figure in the 8 cents per mile increase for the last 4 months of the year. For more news on tax deductions, visit IRS.gov.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. It's the weekly review. All topics are valid. The toll-free number is 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Let's go to Rama calling me from Vermont. Rama, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hey, Mark. Listen, a couple things, and I really thoroughly disagree with your last comments about the Palestine-Israeli situation. And especially when you brought it down to Dresden. I mean, Dresden in World War II, we knew it had no military value whatsoever. and the U.S. and Britain bombed it purely for its terrorist capability, the knowledge that we would terrorize a bunch of civilians. It was known that it was nothing but a collecting point for refugees from all sorts of war-torn parts of Germany at that time. And to say that it was the appropriate thing to do is a rather disgusting comment. And then you make a rather curious claim that taking a soldier, POW, is a kidnapping. And but by the same token, I don't know, maybe the Israelis don't engage in kidnapping when they go and snag Palestinians off the streets.
Well, let me ask you this question, Rama. Israel left Gaza. They left it entirely. And they said, you know, we're gone. They did it unilaterally. You live in your country. We'll live in our country.
That's not what they
and
said.
And yet there have been thousands of missiles that have been shot at from Gaza to Israeli cities, to Sderot, to Ashkelon. Why can't the Palestinians just live in peace? I would think if they would just leave Israel alone for 1 year, then Israel would start withdrawing from major parts of the West Bank as well. But what strikes me is that when there's a poll of Palestinians and 77% support war, how can there ever be peace?
Well, let's start from your basics. First of all, thousands of missiles. The numbers that I've seen don't say thousands, but nonetheless, the number of...
Fine, one a day, two a day, three a day.
I don't want to quibble over the numbers, because the numbers also show that the artillery shells and rockets that have come from Israeli military into the Gaza have been four or five times that number.
Well, they've responded. That's right. When you're attacked, you have a right to respond. We responded to Afghanistan far more than they responded to us.
Maybe, Carl, maybe the Palestinians are the ones responding and not the Israelis. Maybe they're both responding, and maybe you should be pointing a finger at both sides and saying, look, guys, you know, you can keep doing this violence to each other all you want, but as long as the Israelis keep insisting on blockading the Gaza and keep stealing more property over in the West Bank, and as long as the Israelis are going to keep lobbing shells into the Palestinian areas, how can you reasonably expect the Palestinians on the same token to sit there and say, hey,
Rama,
that's fine, lob your shells.
Rama, look what Israel did, okay?
Shoot rockets out.
Look what they did. They had settlements in Gaza. They had a lot of territory there. They vacated it unilaterally. They kicked their own citizens out. They said, you know what? All of this land we're giving to you, as long, you know, just don't attack us. And we'll discuss what we do at the West Bank. And there was a ceasefire. And then the Palestinians elect a group, Hamas, which is dedicated to the destruction of Israel. And apparently the great majority of Palestinians support that destruction. It seems to me that when Al-Qaeda attacks us, we have a right to respond. When the Palestinians attack Israel, they have a right to respond. And I don't think it's fair to call the response in the same way as the attack.
Have you listened to the words in the Israeli Prime Minister who says that, gee, you know, we're going to sit down and start deciding where to draw the borders of Israel now.
They have to, because no one will negotiate with them.
No, you know what? The borders have been drawn in Israel already. That's part of the problem. Is everybody sitting there saying, gee, you know, we were the ones who were attacked, and therefore we're just responding. And that's a bunch of BS, because they're both responding to attacks from the other side, and they both need to stop. And there's no excuse.
Do you think that we and Al-Qaeda need to stop attacking each other? We both responded to each other, and Afghanistan.
We're talking about Al-Qaeda and us. We're talking about Israel and Palestine.
No, but okay? The point is, when you're attacked, don't you have a right of self-defense?
Well, that's just the issue. It's who's doing the self-defense in the...
Okay, Israel leaves the territory, leaves them entirely alone, and instead of trying to use Gaza to help the people with sewers and schools and so forth, they're stringing wires across it and grenades and making weapons depots.
So you're really misrepresenting. Israel never left the Gaza Strip alone. They've had it under a blockade ever since that the Palestinians had their democratic election and decided they wanted a Hamas-run government.
Right.
Israel has locked down the Gaza Strip. Israel has continued to launch rocket attacks into the Gaza Strip.
Only in response.
Well, no. Then they've continued to shell the Gaza Strip with
only in response
shells. Who's responding to who? And this is the thing that you don't want.
I'll tell you who's responding to who. Let's get this straight.
You want to say that Palestinians are the ones starting it, and that's not
right.
That's not reality, and that's where you...
Well, sure it is.
And, Carl, I'm...
The Palestinians, in a democratic election, elected...
Let me finish a sentence here, Carl. Because I'll tell you, when you go and you use Dresden as a good thing to do, you really show what a sick, putrid attitude you have. And that's a simple fact.
Here was the thing, okay? The problem was, and Dresden was a problematic thing. It's one of the reasons why I use it as an example, because a lot of innocent civilians died. But the great majority of Germans supported the Nazis.
Like to make
it's just
call.
It's it, okay. He hung up on me. Ramon, I don't mind debating this issue with you. I really don't. And it just seems to me that there's a difference between a public that is intent on peace and a public that's intent on war. One of the nice things that the Irish did is they stopped supporting war against Britain in Northern Ireland. And as soon as the Irish stopped supporting war, they were able to work out some kind of agreement. I found this poll stunning. Stunning to me that 77% of Palestinians would support this war. When Israel unilaterally left the land. I mean, that's what's so amazing. I mean, you know, once Israel was there and they were occupying certain territory, you can argue about it. But when they left them alone and said, go, go, you live your life, we'll live our lives, and then we'll talk about leaving huge swaths of the West Bank. What did the Palestinians do? They elected a leadership like Hitler, determined to destroy the state of Israel. And then what did Israel do? Well, they blockaded. They said, you know what, we're not going to allow weapons to come into Gaza. Well, you know, if you want to send grain or things like that, that's fine. But we're not going to allow you to have weapons when you've declared war against us. And I think that any country has a right to respond to a declaration of war with war. So, yes, I think that Israel has reacted very strongly. And here's the answer. If the Palestinians, if Hamas, if they really want peace, they know what to do. They know what to do. Simply return the soldier, stop lobbing missiles into Israel, and Israel has said it will leave Gaza immediately. It'll leave immediately. Then, once you have a ceasefire, then you can negotiate peace talks. But what's interesting to me, what I find most interesting, is how many of ordinary Palestinians